now? Yeah, amen. Thank the Lord. Boy, it's good to be saved, ain't it? No one else could do what he has done. Amen. Take your Bible tonight and turn with me to Luke chapter number 18. Go ahead, sis. Amen. Praise the Lord. Probably more comments have been made over that message than anything I've preached in a while. I was shocked at some of the people that came to me and said, I've been battling that very thing, talking about depression. And it would be people that you would least think that was having a bad time or in a dark place in their life. And so I'm glad the Lord let us be a help. Amen. Luke chapter number 18. We'll look at one verse of scripture tonight. I felt like Sunday night when I hit that thing about prayer and talking to God, I felt like we hit something right there. We've got a lot coming up. Sunday, the CEOs will be here. Y'all know who the CEOs are, right? That's the Christmas, Easter, and other holiday church members. Amen. Or those that go to church once a year. It's an excuse to go out and buy a new suit of clothes, dress the whole family alike. You know what I'm talking about? And that's the only time they go to church. And listen, I'm glad they do. Amen. I've been in church before where the preacher got up and literally just blasted them because that's the only day of the year they come. I'm not going to do that Sunday. Amen. Why? I'd like for a chance to have them come back the next Sunday. Amen. Amen. If I only get one shot at them a year, thank God for that one shot a year. But what ought to happen on Easter Sunday morning, that's one of the toughest services of our year for me. Because there's a spiritual battle going on Easter Sunday morning. Chances are we have so many lost people here that are not saved. If they died, they don't know if they'd go to heaven. They haven't got that thing about their salvation settled. And there's an evil spirit that shows up on Easter Sunday morning, and there's a warfare going on. Yeah. Here's what I'm saying. We need to pray. We need to pray. We got revival coming up at the end of this month, April 30th through May the 2nd. Brother Jonathan McNeese will be here. We need to pray. Amen. Amen. We need to get serious about our prayer life. Amen. I mean, where it's a part of our daily lives, and we need to target some things. Our country is in trouble. Our country is in trouble, and people are weak in their prayer life, and we're not getting prayers through, and we're not seeing answers to prayers. We are here, don't get me wrong, I'm talking about globally. Amen? More than talk about the election, I want to pray for the election. Amen? More than discuss who's the best candidate, I'm going to pray and ask God who's the best candidate. Amen? I want God to lead me in that thing, don't you? Well, we want to talk about prayer for a few minutes tonight. And this parable, the Lord kicks it off. It's a lot like the parable in Luke chapter number 5. Both of them encourages us to persevere in prayer. The first one encourages us to pray for other people. This one encourages us to pray for ourselves. Amen. Amen. And I think that's in the right order. Others first. Amen. Somebody said, what does joy spell? Jesus, others, and then you. Amen. And if we'd prefer others over ourselves, it might amaze you what God would do in your life. Amen. I want us to look at chapter number 18 and verse number 1. The Bible said, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Let's look at that again. He said that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Amen. Let me give you three simple thoughts and we'll go to the house tonight. But I want you to notice first of all the duty to pray. The duty to pray. Most people only pray when there's a problem. Would you agree with that? Most people only pray when something's wrong. Most people only pray when there's a great need. Well, listen, there is a great need, and we have a duty to pray. Be turning in your Bibles to James. Hold Luke chapter number 18. But be turning in your Bibles to the book of James in chapter number 5. We have a duty to pray. Amen. Would you agree with that? Our country is depending on us. Whether you realize it or not, the nation is depending on us. What is the economy turn around depending on? On whether or not we can still get in touch with God? Because no politician in Washington is going to fix the mess. Do you understand that? I don't care which side of the aisle you're on, what color your president is, which way you lean, or which way you vote, which way it swings. It doesn't matter. Brother, none of that crowd has the answer. Amen. Oh, we want to hear so-and-so's budget plan. I'd like to hear one of them say, well, I'm going to ask God what he'd have us do. Amen. We have a duty to pray for our nation. We have a duty to pray for our soldiers. We've got one in our church over there in harm's way right now, Brother Cody Ryder. And brother, we need to bombard heaven every day and ask God to pray and pray and ask God to protect him. Amen. I believe God brought Brother Greg Nix back to us three times through answered prayer. Amen. I believe that with all my heart. Everyone we've had go over there, I believe God's brought them home in an answer to our prayers. We have a duty to pray for those soldiers. We have a duty to pray for our country. And you have a duty to pray for your church. Amen. Amen. How many of you call the prayer line, the pastor's prayer team? That's quite a few of you. You know what you have a duty to do? You made a promise that you'd pray for me 10 minutes before every service. Amen. Amen. I wonder how many keep that up. Sometimes I can tell it. Yes. I can tell when I'm being prayed for. Amen. Have you ever known when you've been prayed for? Yeah. When I was a teenager growing up, when I was lost, I could feel my mama's prayer. Yeah. Amen. When I come in late on Friday night and I saw that light coming out from under her door, I knew what she was doing. She wasn't sitting up reading a romance novel. She was praying for her boy. You know why I got home and I got to see that light coming out of the door instead of winding up in jail somewhere? Because mama was in that room praying. It sure wasn't my prayers keeping me out of trouble. It was that mother who had a duty to pray for her son, and she prayed for her son, and God got me through the mess. Hallelujah. I can honestly say tonight, I've never spent the night in jail. Not one time. I've never felt the bite of handcuffs on my wrist. Should I have? Yep. What was it? It was the duty of a praying mama at home praying that God would protect her child. I've been with people who took to jail, and somehow I eluded it every time. Not because I'm smart, not because I'm slick. I honestly believe because my mother was at home praying for her boy. Amen. We have a duty to pray for our children. You have a duty to pray for your spouse. Amen. Amen. We have a duty. Listen now, we're going to James. What did I tell you, chapter 5? We have a duty to pray for one another. We have a duty to pray for each other. Look at James chapter 5 and verse number 16. He said, confess your faults one to another. And what's it say? Pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Wow, that's a strong verse of scripture right there. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now back up and notice what kind of man it is doing the praying. The effectual, fervent prayer of a what kind of man? A righteous man. I want you to pray for me, but I want you to be fessed up first. That way your prayers will be effectual. That way they'll work. Amen? Amen. First thing I do when I pray, I ask God to forgive me. Amen. So if I wanted to pray for that little baby Samuel when Don called me crying in tears the other day when he was born. Well, Monday, she was in labor for like 20 hours. And Don called me on Monday and he said, Brother Eddie, he's not breathing good. He's just laying there and he's just lifeless. And boy, I hung up the phone, brother, and I hit my knees and I said, oh God, we need your help. Oh Lord. But before I did, I said, God, if there's any wicked thing in me, show me, God. Help me to get that thing taken care of. This baby needs help. And you know what God did? God helped that baby. Yeah. And you're saying, oh, you're thinking about your prayers. I wasn't the only one praying. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. I guarantee you there's a grandma and a grandpa praying. Yeah. I guarantee you there's an aunt and an uncle praying. I guarantee you there's a mom and a daddy praying. I guarantee you there's an entire Baker family and a Majors family praying, asking God to put his hand on that child. Yeah. Amen? Amen? We have a duty to pray for one another. Yes, amen. And I want to be in shape to be able to pray for you. And I want you to be in shape, be able to pray for me. Amen. We ought to stick to our duty. Listen, again, Christmas. Easter is Sunday morning. Resurrection Sunday. Amen. We're going to celebrate that we serve a risen Savior. and the gospel will be preached. I'll just go ahead and tell you flat-footed, straight up and down, the gospel of Christ will be preached Sunday morning. You can count on it. Just, you say, you're going to preach on the resurrection? Yeah. Amen. I'm not going to pull a Joel and get this place jam-packed with people and tell them what they ought to eat. Amen. I'm going to tell people that if you die without Christ, hell will be your home. But there is a risen Savior who saves sinners. Amen. I'm going to tell them that Jesus is alive and Jesus saved, and that he's sitting at the right hand of the Father to make intercession for us. And I need you to pray that it'll find a resting spot in somebody's heart Sunday morning. We have a duty to pray for one another. Listen, if I don't pray for Brother Charles, I'm failing him as a friend. Would you agree with that? If I don't pray for you, I'm failing you as a pastor. And if you don't pray for me, you're failing me as a church member.
Amen.
Amen. We have a duty to pray for one another. Sister Janice used to sing a song, "When you don't feel like praying." What do you do when you don't feel like praying? Pray. When you don't feel like praying, pray. Listen, I'd love to be all spiritual and stand up and tell you how much I just get caught up into the third heaven every time I hit my knees, and I just can't wait to hit my knees and pray. Man, sometimes prayer is labor. Sometimes it's labor. Sometimes it takes me a little while to even feel like I have God's attention. Anybody else like that? You ever pray and feel like you're talking to yourself? You ever ask God, are you listening? It's hard work, but we have a duty to do it.
Amen.
We have a duty to do it. Listen, it ought not just be for an election year, and it ought not just be for a big day in church on Sunday, and it ought not just be for a revival. It's our duty 7 days a week, 365 days a year to pray. Amen.
Amen.
I want to ask the question again. I say it often, how long does it take you to pray 1 hour? How long does it take you to pray 1 hour? Week? A month? A year? Amen. Men ought always to pray.
Amen.
Amen. Pray without ceasing. Man, these aren't suggestions. It's a duty. That word ought is a strong word. You ought to do it. You ought to do it. He's telling you what you need for success in this life. Amen? There's no way you can be spirit-filled when you have no communion with Him.
Amen.
Amen. You know what revival is? That's a spirit being alive in people again. That's what revival is, for the Holy Ghost to fill us. And that's what I want come revival time. I'd like to see it before, but we ain't got to wait on Jonathan. We can start without him.
Amen.
Amen. I preached at a church in Arkansas, and 1 year when I got there, or before I got there, the preacher called me and he said, "Brother, it's been on for about 3 weeks around here." He said, "People getting saved." He said, "I baptized 7 yesterday morning." He said, "Man, I'm just telling you, I don't know if you'll get to preach or not." And brother, it was. I mean, they picked up that hymn book and started singing. They started shouting, and it was on. They didn't wait on me. I thought, man, y'all got a head start. Let me get caught up where y'all at. Amen. I needed some of what they had. Y'all hear me? We have a duty to pray every single day. Let me ask you a question. Are you fulfilling your duty? They'll kick a soldier out of the army for dereliction of duty. Is that right, Brother Greg? If he doesn't do his duty, they kick him out of an army. I'm glad Jesus didn't like that.
Amen.
Amen. If we got kicked out of the family of God because of our lack of prayer, I'd have got kicked out a long time ago. How about you? Amen. Y'all listening to me tonight? Well, it's our duty to pray, and we need to get serious about it.
Amen.
Amen. The week leading up to our revival, I would like that week to have at least 3 people fasting every day for that solid week before revival.
Yep.
Fasting is not a diet.
No, that's right.
It's a spiritual fast. We're crucifying the flesh to get closer to Him. Amen.
Amen. Yeah.
I'd like to see it like they saw it in Roanoke, Alabama.
Yeah.
Brother Mike Traylor, pastor at Bible Way, was there at the funeral on yesterday, and he and I were talking, and we got to talking about that meeting, and he went down there and was in the meeting one night. He said, "Brother, it was like we read about in the stories." He said, it was revival. It affected the entire city. Public schools were calling and asking for the evangelist to come and preach to their school. Public schools. Public schools. Where it's not even okay to pray. "Hey, will you come preach to our teenagers?" A 65-year-old janitor said, "Hey, preacher, come here. I need what you're talking about." And he got saved.
Yeah.
Brother, you know what that is? That's revival. But it started in the church house.
Yeah.
It started in the church house. And I don't think it just happened by accident. Somebody got hungry enough to ask for it.
Yes,
amen. Jonah loves oatmeal pies. He them little Debbie oatmeal pies. And he knows where they stay at the house. And he knows all he's got to do is say, "Nina, I want oatmeal pie." And you know what he's going to get? I don't care if it's 5 minutes before supper time. He's at grandma's house. Amen.
Amen.
He's going to get oatmeal pie. Amen. He knows who to go to ask. Amen. Somebody got hungry and wanted revival, and they figured out, "Hey, I bet if we go to God and ask God sincerely for revival, God might send revival to our city."
Amen.
And they prayed and fasted and begged God to do something in Roanoke, Alabama. And God showed up and showed out and did far beyond they ever even dreamed of. They were planning on 1 week. That revival went on for 4 weeks or five. Four or five, was it, Clint? You remember? It was 4 or 5 weeks. 190-something people got saved. Could we stand that around here? Amen. I'd like to take over this pavilion they built to have rock concerts in down here in town. Just take that thing over and have revival right there by the police station. Amen. Brother Daniel, reckon they'd let us get away with that. Amen. Hey, that'd be good, man. I'd like to see it get so big we couldn't keep it in here, and we got to carry it somewhere else. Amen. But that ain't going to come just by chance. It's going to come by prayer. But we're going to have to fulfill our duty. Somebody said, "Preacher, are we going to have revival?" Well, I can guarantee you this. If the Lord tarries, we're going to have a meeting.
Amen.
We're going to have a meeting. But I want more than a meeting. I'd like to see some revival.
Amen.
Not only would I like to see our town affected, before I see our town affected, I want to see us affected.
Yes.
I want this thing to be electrified, man.
Amen.
I want it to get spooky in here.
Amen.
Y'all all right?
Amen.
But if we're in dereliction of our duty to pray, I doubt we'll see revival. I really do. We'll have a good meeting. Ain't no doubt about it. We're going to hear great preaching. We're going to hear great singing. No doubt, we're going to have a good time. But whether or not we have revival is up to me and you. I believe it's up to this Wednesday night crowd.
Amen.
It's up to us. You know what we can do? All those seats that were filled to capacity on Sunday morning that are empty tonight, we can pray, and God can even revive those. Amen. Those that hadn't prayed for revival can be affected by our prayer for revival. We have a duty. We have a duty to pray. Amen. Not only is there a duty to pray, he said men ought, what was the next word?
Always.
Men ought always to pray. There is a dedication in praying. There is a dedication. Are you dedicated to your prayer life? Are you dedicated to your prayer life? Or is it something you do before you eat? Are y'all listening? God is great. God is good. Let us thank Him for our food. Is that right? Good bread, good meat, good Lord, let's eat. It needs to go a little further than that. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. That ain't even doctrinal. If you're saved, He's got your soul, friend.
Amen.
Amen. It ought to be a little more than that.
Amen.
Let me say it again. It ought to be a little more than that. Do you ever do this? Do you ever pray yourself to sleep?
Amen.
You need to be dedicated to your prayer life. Do you know they say if you do something for, is it 21 days? 14 days, it becomes a habit. 14 days, it becomes a habit. With prayer, it might be a little bit more than 14 days because we have an enemy that don't want us to pray. But I believe we ought to pray till it becomes a habit.
Amen.
We ought to pray till it becomes such a habit that we feel like, what's missing? That you can tell the difference when you have and when you have not. Amen. There's a dedication in praying. Hey, I believe you can get addicted to it. Amen. We read great stories about old Praying Hyde and what's the fella's name that had the orphanages? George Mueller. George Mueller. They said one time George Mueller had the orphanages and had all those orphan children, and he came down to breakfast one morning, and the lady that was helping him in the orphanage said, "Brother George, we don't have any milk and we don't have any food." He said, "I don't know what we're going to feed the kids." He said, "Set the table." She said, "I have no food to feed the kids." He said, "Set the table. I'm going to my prayer." And while he is up there praying, they said a knock came on the door, and the milkman standing on the doorstep, and he said, "I didn't know if y'all could use it or not, but I've got all this milk left over." And sure enough, hey, in a few minutes the baker came, or the butcher came by, and had all this meat. And hey, what was it for? Because that man had an addiction to prayer, friend. And when old George Mueller hit his knees, God said, "What you need, son?" Amen. He was dedicated in prayer, and we ought to be dedicated in our prayer life. Amen. And our prayer life shouldn't always be just selfish. I think you'd agree that it's okay to ask for yourself. But don't let it stop there. There is plenty. So I don't really know what to say when I pray. You know what to say when you talk to your buddies. You know, you sure ain't got no problem with what to say on Facebook. Commercial time. I'm probably going to blister this real hot and heavy soon. But men, don't be friending ladies on your Facebook.
Amen.
You ain't got no business Facebooking with somebody else's wife.
Yeah.
Y'all all right there?
Yeah.
And so it's just Facebook. Yeah. So far. Amen. You say, "What does that got to do with the message?" Absolutely nothing. But seriously, you don't have any problem with what to say when you get on Facebook. Why is it so hard to talk to God?
Amen. Amen, brother.
Because we have this stigma. I mentioned it Sunday night. We think we've got to be talking in such a tone to pray.
Amen.
That stuff makes me, I don't like it.
Amen.
I've been in churches where people pray. It's like a performance. "Our Father." They change the tone of their voice. "Dear God." Y'all heard it? Man, that ain't praying. That ain't praying. I'm going to tell you what prayer is. Follow everybody's life that Jesus touched in the New Testament. The lady with the issue of blood. What was her prayer? She just got hold of his garment. Just touch him.
Amen.
Amen. The one whose son was lunatic and throwing himself in the fire. What did they do? Did they say, "Our Father, God, would you?" No. "Lord, if thou wilt." They just ask.
Amen.
They just talk to him.
Amen.
Don't get the idea that you don't know how to pray.
Amen.
If you can speak, you can pray. I believe dumb people, and I don't mean unlearned. I'm talking about can't speak. I believe they can pray. I do. I believe that with all my heart. It's been a long time since I told this, so this will be new to some of you. Our choir, Miss Sister Melody, you might remember Brother Earl was preaching down in Rockmart, and right down there next to Brother Roy Thaxton's house, a church. I may be that same church when you first turn on that road on the right. We was in revival meeting right there. And our choir went, and our choir got to singing, and it got foggy in there. And there was a 17, 18-year-old boy was there with his grandparents. He was deaf and dumb, could not hear and could not speak. He couldn't hear a thing that was going on. And he tapped his grandmother on the shoulder, and she sign language, "What is it?" And he pointed at his heart and said, "I need Jesus." Woo! I'm glad the Holy Spirit can get by a deaf ear, and he can get by a mute mouth. You know why? Because he knows the very thoughts and the intentions of our heart. Amen? Men ought always to pray. You ought to be dedicated to prayer. You know what? Some of you cannot function every day till you get that coffee. Is that right? Why? You're addicted to it. You didn't need it when you was little.
Amen.
Man, you woke up at 6 o'clock in the morning on Saturday to watch cartoons. I did. Hey, man, that was my time, buddy. Early Saturday morning, that's when the best cartoons came on. That's when you got to watch Foghorn Leghorn and all them, brother. Hey, man, real cartoon. You didn't need no coffee to get you going then. What happened? You got addicted to it.
Amen.
You've done it so long that your body has a need for it.
Amen.
And your body's telling you, I need coffee. Y'all okay?
Amen.
There ought to be a need for prayer in our lives.
Yes, brother.
There ought to be something clicks on the inside of us. I need to pray.
Yes.
I need to talk to God. There is a duty to prayer. And there is a dedication to prayer. But he said, men ought always to pray. What was the last part of that? And what? And faint not. And faint not. When you think about faint, you think about falling out, right? My daughter, Ashley, she's a fainter. She is. She's a fainter. First time you see it, it scares the bejeebies out of you. If she feels a lot of pain, she's going out. She got a crick in her neck one Sunday morning when she was still a teenager at home. And she was laying on the bed. And she couldn't move her neck. And all of a sudden, boom, she went out. Before I could get her to, Angie done called 911. The rescue people came and pulled in the driveway, and they're in there fooling with Ashley, and I come in there and say, hey, can y'all move this ambulance so I can go to church? I know that sounded like a horrible father, but I knew she was okay, amen. When you think about fainting, you just think about falling out. But here's the definition of fainting: to grow weary. To grow weary. Have you ever got weary in your prayer life? To grow weary. To give in, to give up, to quit. I guarantee you there's people tonight who used to pray. But in their prayer life, they've literally fainted. Is church the only time you pray? Well, it got quiet. I sure hope it's not. Amen. Are you weary in your prayer life? You know what will cause you sometimes to get weary in your prayer life? You're not getting it. You're not getting the results that you expect. God's not jumping when you snap your fingers. Listen, you can pray till your lips fall off, but God has a will. And that one thing you're praying for, He may have another idea about it. Amen. Brother, I've changed the way I pray a lot of times, especially when people are sick, like Brother Tommy's nephew, Mrs. Roscoe. But back in the old days, I'd still be praying for God to heal him. And He could. You know what I pray for now? His will.
Amen.
His will.
Amen.
I was praying the other day. I said, Lord, why are you letting her struggle? Why hadn't you taken her own home, Lord? She's hurting. She served you. She's been faithful. And the Holy Spirit said, I'm not done. I'm not done. There may be a family situation that needs to be remedied.
Amen, sir.
At the foot of Mama's bed.
Amen.
So Mama go to heaven knowing that family's okay with one another.
Amen.
Y'all okay?
Yes,
man, don't question God. Just keep praying.
Amen.
Just keep praying. God knows what He's doing.
Amen.
You say, yeah, but I need a job, and I've been praying for God to give me a job. Well, maybe God's trying to teach you something before He gives you that next job. Maybe there's a lesson that you need to be learning, what you need to be praying instead of, God, why aren't you? Is God, what are you trying to show me?
Yeah.
Lord, don't let me miss the lesson in the unanswered prayer.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. And sometimes we pray for things that would absolutely hurt us.
Yeah.
You don't think it would. You think, oh, that'd be the greatest thing in the world. Boy, if I could pray and do this. Somebody told me the other day, told me pray over the lottery ticket. I did. I don't play the lottery, but I did. $640 million. Somebody said, if somebody in your church won the lottery, would you take the tithe? That'd be $64 million. We'd pay this place off and then some. Amen. Well, I don't talk about missionaries now. Hallelujah. Hey, man, we could build. It's tempting to go play. We could build some churches on the mission field. We'd get something done. Amen. Seriously. Sometimes we pray for stuff that is not God's will for our life. You ever prayed out of God's will?
Sure.
Sure. Yes. Sure. I have and you have.
Amen.
What would be wrong with praying for $640 million? Oh, what all I'd do with it. You know, one of the things you might do with it is forget all about God.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Through these 19 years, it amazes you at the people who's been through lawsuits with workers' comp and different things, one thing after the other, and they'd come and they'd say, "Preacher, we're going to get a settlement." And when we do, and it would blow your mind how many times I've seen them get a settlement and disappear.
Yeah.
They ain't broke now. They don't need God. They got all the money they need. Now they no longer need God. Listen, you need God whether you're rich or broke.
Yes, sir.
You need God whether you're living down here in the Georgian or under a bridge on I-20. It makes no difference. You need God just the same.
Yes,
sir. Amen.
Amen.
People think rich people doesn't have a need. Boy, look at their lives.
Yes,
look at their lives. Read the front of them papers in the grocery store. Man, them people's, their lives are jacked up.
Amen.
Amen. Every one of them's got a guru and a psychic they're all messed up.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
That one woman, I can't remember what her name is. She's got a different husband every time you see her. One of them movie stars. And they ain't got it made.
That's right.
They ain't got it made. They're not happy.
That's right.
Hey, I'm happy.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. I got the same wife I've had 28 years. I believe I'll keep her a little more.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Amen. If she don't straighten up, though... Amen. I just lost her, preacher said. We grow weary in our prayer life and we quit. I wonder, is there anybody? And I don't want to embarrass Brother Freddie, but do you still pray for Brother Freddie's dad? Do you? I believe he might be saved, I ain't sure. But he's never come out and said it, has he? How long y'all been coming here? 13 years. For 13 years, the prayer request is pray for Fred Young. Don't die on me.
Yeah.
Is it okay to pray for something for 13 years?
Amen.
It is. It is. I've been praying for the Lord to pay this building off for 13 years.
Yeah.
Do I still pray for it? Every day.
Amen.
Every day. You know why? It's easy. I have voicemail here at the church, and it's easy to forget to check that thing. You know what reminds me to check it? When I pray and ask God to pay this building off. I'm serious heart that.
Amen.
I pray and ask the Lord to pay this building off. I call and check my voicemail, see if anybody's called won't leave me a check.
Amen.
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 I'm expecting Brother Tom any day. I don't doubt it no more now than I did 13 years ago.
Amen.
I expect Tom any day to say, "Hey, look what came in the mail."
Yeah. Yep. Amen.
See, I'm not wanting our church to have money. Don't think that. As long as we got it coming in, it's going back out. It's going into ministry. There's more buses going on the road. There's more kids going to be brought to Christ. Amen. There's more missionaries going to be supported. And the ones we got's going to be taken better care of. Amen. I'm not praying for a rich church. I don't like that. I don't think a church is a saving business.
Amen.
Anyway, keep on. Don't give up just because you haven't seen the answer. There's no reason to quit. There's no reason to quit. What did cause you to quit? Defilement? Sin in your heart?
Yeah.
Yes.
You know when you feel like praying the least?
Yep.
When you need it the most.
Yes.
Let me say that again. You feel like praying the least when you need it the most.
Amen.
Amen. It's easy to pray when you're right with God.
Yeah.
But boy, you get sideways with Him. Amen. So the best thing to do is get that stuff under the blood. Whatever it may be, and get your connection back.
Yeah.
Amen. Defilement will cause you to want to quit praying. I'll tell you something else it will, and we just kind of hit on that, but doubt will cause you.
Yes.
Doubt will cause you to quit praying. You're not going to pray for something continually that you don't believe will ever happen.
Yeah.
You understand that?
Amen.
You won't pray long for something that you don't believe God's going to do anyway.
That's right.
Amen. Have you ever prayed for somebody you just really in your heart you don't think they'd ever get saved? You expect God to answer that?
Yeah.
Man, we've heard the stories. Story after story after story where a wife or a mother has prayed for a son or a husband for years and years and years and years. And they come in on the last night. I don't know why it's always the last night. It's always the last night of a revival meeting. They look and there he comes down the aisle. Amen. Amen. Doubt will cause you to quit praying. Listen, when I pray over this stuff, I'm expecting it. When I pray over these things, I'm literally expecting it. You know what a kid does that sits in Santa Claus' lap? You know what he does? What causes that child to sit in Santa Claus' lap and read his list off to him? He believes he's going to get everything on it. And mom and daddy standing there going, y'all listening? That kid believes that. That's what faith is, man. That's what faith is. When you come and bow on this altar, that's way beyond Santa Claus' lap. Because I'm talking to one who'd do something about what I'm asking. Amen. Here's what we need, Lord. We need you to continue touching that baby in that hospital. We need you to continue being with Sister Beverly's family. We need you to be with W.T. Baker's family. And Lord, we need you to be with Brother Roscoe's family. Lord, and I expect him to do it. Amen. I've prayed in doubt. You have too. If you've been saved any amount of time, you've prayed about something you didn't expect to see happen. That's why we're so shocked when we see prayer answered. Can you believe it? Yeah. I'm telling you what, God healing Ashley Hallford of cancer changed the way I pray. God has used that in so many levels that it ain't even funny in different people's lives. But I learned through that, He can do anything. There is nothing too big for God. Nothing. Jeremy, He can put a home back together. I'll never forget their testimony when they come here. Last ditch effort. Let's go to church. Which church? I don't know. Let's look on the internet. That's how they found us. What a blessing, man. He's even got His arm around her. Don't get too smooshy in church, amen? God did that. God did that. Instead of trying everything else first, we'll just try God first. Amen. Lord, just try God first. Doubt will cause you to faint in your prayer life. Amen. I don't doubt him anymore. I'm not worried about the economy. I'm not worried about the election. Why? It's in His hand. Washington thinks they're pulling strings. God knows exactly what's going on. He knows exactly what's going on. Amen. Let's see. Distraction cause you to faint in your prayer life. We just talked about this the other day. How many of you have ever had bad thoughts when you're praying? When you're trying to talk to God, you wouldn't think that no other time. But you start talking to God, buddy. That's how the devil works on you. Works on your mind. It works on your mind. And it may not even be bad thoughts, but it's just thoughts about other stuff that you shouldn't be thinking about right now while you're talking to God. Amen. So what do you do, preacher? Stop and start over? Ask God to take it away? Ask God to bind the strong man? The devil's messing with me, Lord. I'm trying to pray and he's interrupting. Amen. It's not nice to interrupt. And let the Lord know he's hindering your prayer. You can't run him off. But the Holy Spirit inside you can. Amen. Don't get so distracted that it just messes up your whole prayer life. I've got so distracted praying before that I quit. We'll come back to this later. Y'all okay? Don't look at me so spiritual like you ain't never had that happen. Amen. You ever wonder why come you think stuff you ought not be thinking about when you're in church? When you're sitting on the pew? He's trying to keep this from getting in you. So he's bringing up something else.
That's right.
Son, the devil's powerful, friend. We don't give him enough credit. He's bigger than you think. Thank God he ain't bigger than Jesus. Amen. You know what Jesus did? He just quoted him scripture. Yes. He didn't preach to him. Didn't even fuss at him. He just started quoting the Bible.
Amen.
They didn't even have no discussion after it was over with.
Yeah.
The Bible said, and he left him alone. Isn't that pretty good? And he left him alone.
Yeah.
Wonder if we should try that. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Start messing with him. He's messing with you.
Yeah.
Mess back.
Yeah.
Distraction will keep you from praying. It was funny when the kids were little. It was funny. I could sit and watch television with no problem with the kids playing and making noise. But I couldn't pray with them playing and making noise. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
It seemed like everything distracts you. So be careful. It's easy to get discouraged in your prayer life. Easy to do. I've done it. We've all done it. Maybe that's why you're not praying like you should now.
Yeah.
Amen. And we ought to pick up the pace. We ought to pick up the pace. Let me ask you a question. You going to pray tomorrow? I sure hope you are.
Amen.
You going to pray for Sunday?
Amen.
You going to pray expecting something?
Amen.
You ought to expect something enough to invite somebody to come with you.
Yeah. Amen.
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 I hope this place is fuller than it was this past Sunday. It's so packed out this past Sunday. Man, that was a blessing.
Amen.
That was a blessing. And boy, I was so nervous. All those parents and grandparents, aunts and uncles, the people coming for the baby dedication. Oh, I was nervous. But God wasn't a bit.
Amen.
He knows exactly what He's doing. Amen?
Amen.
Defilement, doubt, distraction will mess you up. Delay. Delay. I'm not talking about my delay. I'm talking about God's delay. You ever told God He is late? Somebody said, when you think the Lord's coming back? I think He's late. Amen. Delay. When I won't stay right there long. We're going to close in just a second. But just because you're not seeing an immediate reaction to your prayer life, again, don't let it cause you to quit.
Amen.
Don't let it cause you to quit. There's certain things that we've been praying for as a church for years. There's certain things that we've been praying for individually for years. Just because the answer hasn't come doesn't mean you're ready. God already has the answer. Do you understand that? He's not in heaven trying to make up His mind whether or not He's going to answer that prayer.
Amen.
He already has the answer. It may be no, but He already has the answer.
Yeah.
The day I was born, my great-grandfather, Roy Fuller, he went to Sears and Roebuck. I was the first boy to be born in the family. He went to Sears and Roebuck and bought me a 12-gauge shotgun. Boy, that's a newborn gift, ain't it? And from the time I could walk and talk, I knew that that was my shotgun.
Yeah.
My grandmother would say, Roy, where are you going? He said, I'm taking Eddie's shotgun. I'm going to go shoot a rabbit. Amen. He had beagle dogs. And I was told all my years growing up, that was my shotgun. When I got a little bit bigger, he'd let me get it out and clean it. I'd say, can I have it now? No, you're not ready. It was already purchased. It was already done. But I wasn't ready for it. I wasn't ready for it. One day I got off the school bus. Papa's sitting on the back porch. I'd already begin to doubt, was I ever going to get it? I got off the school bus and Papa's on the porch. He said, what you fixing to do? You got any homework? And I said, no, sir. He said, why don't you go get your shotgun? Let's go see if we can kill a squirrel. Yes. Squirrel dumplings tonight, praise the Lord. Amen. And it's the same way with the Lord. It may be that it's not that He just hadn't answered. It may be that you're just not ready to receive. Does that make sense? Amen. Men ought always to pray. That means women too. Men ought always to pray and to faint not. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Our duty to prayer. Our duty to prayer. It's a duty. Just remember that. We have a duty to pray for each other. Come get you a prayer sheet. They're here on the table. Find you a place in the altar. Yes, sir.
What's her name?